Our scripture reading today, the first one comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. And he will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And also from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May God bless to our understanding the reading from his word. I don't know if you noticed this, but all 4 weeks of Advent, I've opened the sermon with a question. And I will now seek to do the same thing on this fourth Sunday. I ask you, what do you want for Christmas? Some of you probably have a lot of wants. Maybe health issues or financial issues or a child that's a lot of trouble for you, or perhaps maybe a child that's full of grace that you want them just to do really, really well in life, or perhaps your spouse is on your nerves, or perhaps your spouse is no longer here and you're lonely, and perhaps you want to lose some weight or get on the better track for things, right? I mean, all of us have wants, but I tell you, as your pastor this morning, that there is one thing that all of us should want. And it comes in Isaiah, and it's in the song that the shepherds heard. For it's peace. And I ask another question. Why do you think we don't have peace in the world? For Christ has promised to be the Prince of Peace. He is Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, but Prince of Peace. I mean, the angels were telling the shepherds who were out in the fields, right? I mean, the good news that they shared with them is glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to human beings everywhere on whom God's favor rests. I think of a lot of places we could be, and, you know, our church is pretty peaceful. I've been in some churches that kind of have some turmoil amongst itself, and it's a little bit stressful to go to church because, you know, you have these people thinking this and these people thinking this and these people that don't want to sit next to those people. And, you know, I mean, it's kind of like being back in, you know, a bad, really bad place of youngness. But anyway, this church, I'll tell you what, at Cornerstone is very special because we may have some budget problems that we need to work out. We may have some space issues. We meet in a school that maybe might change eventually down the road with the law, right, coming our way. We don't know. But also, we have some needs, sure. We're human. But we have peace here. Have you noticed that? When you come on Sunday mornings, you feel warmth and love and harmony and family and people that care about you. And if you haven't felt that yet, I hope that changes, because I sure have. And there is peace at Cornerstone. I did hear yesterday that every single troop member from our military have now officially left Iraq. That's 9 years, you guys, of war. And it's not over in Iraq. I mean, I certainly don't think just because we have pulled out that it's peaceful there. But I certainly hope that they're on their way. And I think of peace between races. I think of South Africa and other parts of the world where people don't like each other just because they look different or they say different things or they have different faith preferences or whatever, right? We all should want peace. And another question I ask you is, how do we find that peace? Well, you know the answer, don't you? It starts with you and me, right? Because peace is something that is from God, that lives down in our soul and our heart. And it is something that if we live with peace around us and we tell others of our peaceful presence in the midst of chaos all around us, it's contagious. Because there's something wonderfully calming and hope-filled and joy-filled when somebody is with you that has a peaceful presence in the midst of a crazy, messed up, chaotic world. And when you're around a peaceful person, you know they are peaceful because there's something that gives them strength and calming that others don't seem to have. And that's why Christ is our Prince of Peace. Because if we have faith in Christ, then we have faith in peace. I think about the world, right? The addictions, the ignorance, the greed, the rebellion, the destructive tendencies that are around us. I think of all of the stuff that we filled our houses with to make up for all that we're lacking. And I think of violent oppression and civil war and people without food. And I think of disease and accidents and poverty. But I also think of the four messages of Advent that are written on my beautiful stole, right? I think of hope and love and joy and peace. And I think about how it radiates from you. Spending time with you over these weeks and months as I have served here has given me a lot of encouragement because you live out your faith in what you do. I think of a story of a man on a bus who's sitting between two women. It's kind of hot in the bus. Have you guys ever been in public transportation when it's really warm inside of a bus or a train or a car and you're around all these other people and the one person wants the window open and the other person wants the window closed? I mean, it seems kind of minor in the midst of all the chaoticness in the world, right? But it can be pretty bad because the one person can say, I'm going to put the window down, you know, and they pull it down and the other person says, no, I want the window up. And they reach over the person and push it back up. And then they start having this, you know, big, huge brawl in the middle of the bus. And the guy is sitting in between them thinking, have you lost your mind? Like, seriously? Right? I mean, you know, so finally he reaches over to one and pulls the window down and pushes the lady over there. And then he pushes the window up and pushes the other lady over there. And he's like, no, everybody should be at peace, right? Right? I think some people think of peace as being the end of all conflict. If things could just be okay and everybody could just get along, right? And I find that there are people that go around trying to be those type of peacemakers. They really just want people to stop fighting. But do you really think those ladies are that upset about the windows? I mean, if they're walking around that angry, do you think the only thing they're worried about is whether that window is down or up? Usually people, I notice them when I'm at a red light and they're sitting next to me and we're in traffic and they're just unbelievably upset. I mean, you can just tell they have physically lost it. I mean, they're honking their horn, they're screaming, they're swearing, they're
just red and angry and yelling at everybody in their car and everybody around them, right? I mean, have you seen those people? Like, they're not just mad at the traffic, I'm telling you, right? I mean, they've got some other stuff going on, right? I mean, they are living without peace. I'm going to tell you a story about George Harrison. He was a former Beatle. Do you guys like the Beatles? It's good music, right? Yeah, I love them. It's great music. So George Harrison, he died back in December of 2001, but during his final days, his wife, his child, and his sister were all at his bedside. And it was Louise's presence that was actually really important in his last days. Because you see, George and her had been fighting. The article I read about them said feuding, which is kind of a big word, right? They were feuding with each other for 40 years. Do you have somebody you don't get along with for that long? 40 years? I mean, that's a long time to be married to somebody that you don't get along with. And apparently the feud began when Louise opened a bed and breakfast called A Hard Day's Night, which is kind of interesting. But anyway, the rift was healed only when George realized, and this is pretty profound, that he was going to die. And Louise tells the story by saying, reconciliation was hard. But he reached out and he held my hand. And it was like it used to be. And we talked for hours about life and God and the universe and the world. And it was positive and loving and peaceful. Reconciliation is a big word too, but it's when two people who've been at odds with one another come together in a renewed and a restored relationship. One where they are able to look into each other's eyes, really look into their eyes, and know that all is okay. Is there someone that you need to be reconciled with? It's not too late. You can reach out to them and find peace. Advent is a time where we prepare our hearts for the coming of Jesus, the coming of the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. And I'm going to be short today. So I'm going to end with Paul, who in Romans writes to us and says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are called, my friends, to be ones who overflow with hope, love, peace, and joy. And if we hold on to those things, nothing else matters, because life is full for now and forevermore. Amen." At this time in the service, I'm very honored to ask our new officers to come forward. I'd also like to ask Bob Wagner to come forward, who is chair of the nominating committee, co-chair of the nominating committee. So Barbara's not here today. I know she's traveling. So Bob's going to represent the nominating committee. Is Bob Wagner here? Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, it's okay. If he can come at any point, but I really need the new incoming deacons and elders to come forward. And I think we have Kelly Pushko, we have Todd Moyer, we have Lori Wagner, who's out with Children's Church, but we got her. Okay, good. And then also we have Bruce Thompson, excuse me for stumbling over my words, and we have Dave Carlson. And come up here, be supportive. Before we do the actual official installation service, I just wanted to say a word of thanksgiving to our nominating committee and to Bob Wagner. Can everybody give them a round of applause?